The following is a North Carolina Baptist resource. For more, visit ncbaptist.org.
Thank you so much for being a part of our breakout. I'm going to introduce to you the Ashleys here in just a little bit, but I'm going to kick us off for the first about 30 minutes or so, just to kind of give you an introduction of what Faith at Home Ministry is all about. My name is Mark Smith, and I'm the Family Ministry Consultant for the Baptist State Convention. Let me just share with you a bit of the vision of Faith at Home. The Faith at Home Ministry believes the family is God's first and greatest institution. Yet, how many of y'all live in a dysfunctional family? We're all there, aren't we? We're all there, you know? And it's the greatest thing is God even displays those dysfunctional families all throughout His Word. And so we're in great company. But here's what we do. Faith at Home partners with churches. That's you. To equip parents, grandparents to be eager learners, authentic doers, intentional teachers of God's Word. And that's what this resource will walk you right through. You see these different things right here? This eager learner, authentic doer, intentional teacher. I'm going to give you this before you walk out because that's what this really tries to lay out. All based on God's Word. And I'm going to prove that to you here in just a second. Because here's really my question. Will the next generation know the great love of a great God? Because if we don't tell them, who's going to? If we don't share the gospel, how are they going to get saved? I think Milton, I just heard this. I've been in the exhibit hall for the last 2 days, and so I don't really get privy to the main stage. But I think I heard that Milton said this maybe last night, that if we don't share the gospel with our children, we can be 100% certain that they're going to hell. And I hope that just really starts to resonate in our hearts. But here's this resource that I'll give you, and we're going to talk all through this resource, but here's really the whole key to this resource. It just gives you an opportunity to just start to scratch the surface of what God's Word has to say about family ministry. And, like I said, if you give me that call, you read this book and you give me that call, then I get an opportunity to just kind of start to dialogue with you with some language that you've already had a chance to read. So that's just kind of, that's the way this particular resource works. It's a fast read. It's an easy read. It's the prettiest book I've ever written. Honestly, it's great. So you got to check it out. All right. But here's what this whole thing's all about. Learn, do, teach. I didn't even make up these words. I just was reading scripture and God just showed them to me because here's the scripture that I see. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes, the rules that I speak in your hearing today, and you shall learn them." You check that out. You'll learn them. This is your responsibility to be a learner of God's Word. This is what we need to teach our parents. They need to be learners of God's Word. They need to invest their hearts and lives, allowing God's Word to speak into their life. Because you know what they get to do after that? Check this out. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes, the rules that I speak in your hearing today, that you are to be, you shall learn them and then be careful to do them." That's model. You read God's Word. He tells you to do something, and so therefore you do it. It's kind of simple that way. And what did Jesus say in John 14, 15? "If you love me, you will obey my commands." But how are we going to obey His commands when we don't know them, when we don't understand them, when we're not allowing ourselves to really be saturated by God's Word? But you know what? This isn't just moms and dads, okay? Moms and dads, mom, guess what, is the number one influential person in a child's life. Hands down, guys, I'm sorry. We come in second. I tell my wife all the time it's because you had a 9-month head start. But I'm okay with that because we sanctify each other, all right? But dads, we're number two. Guess who's number three? Grandparents. That's what it says right here in Deuteronomy 4:9. It says, "Be careful to watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your who?" Children. Grandparents are still who in these people's lives. They're still disciple makers in their own children's lives. But guess who else they get an opportunity, because they are grandparents, they get a chance to also be the third most influential person in a grandchild's life. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. You hear what God's trying to teach us? It's a generational thing. And when we make it a generational thing, these kids start growing up in a home where God's Word is just talked about. And it becomes natural. But we've got to be intentional in our conversations with God's Word. And that's really where this verse comes into play. And I'll talk about this one here in just a second, in a little more detail. But notice what it says. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you go down the road, when you lie down, when you get up. And so really you start to see how this thing learn, this do, and this teach all starts to come out. We're to take God's Word and eat it, and then we're to act on it, and then we're to turn right around and teach it. It's kind of that simple. And so that's what this resource really kind of walks us through. But you know what this passage is all about, the Shema. You've seen this. You've studied this. You've preached it. I know you have. But let me just take you a little step further in this particular passage, because notice what it says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God. Notice that word love. You see that word? If we were to translate that into the Greek, it's the word agape. What does that word mean, agape? Unconditional love. And that's what God is calling us to do to Him. Love Him unconditionally. Now in Hebrew, it's the word ahav. But you see this word translated, agape. We're to have a heart connection with our one God. One God. And that's what he says. Love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Basically, love him with everything you got. You're to hold nothing back. Matter of fact, did he hold anything back to give us eternal life? He held nothing back. Not even his own son did he hold back. And so does he want the same in return from us? I think he deserves the same from us. So notice what he goes on to say. It says, impress them. Okay, what's to them? Well, see, these commands that I give you today, they're to be upon your hearts. As he's talking to everybody. Because who's he talking to? He's talking to the hero Israel people. That's the whole crowd. They're to be upon your hearts. And then he says, impress them on your children. Guess what he just did in one simple sentence? He narrowed that focus from this huge funnel down to one simple group of people. Who are they? Parents. And he says, these things that are on your heart, this love that you have for an awesome and almighty God, the one God, that love that you have is to be poured out on to your children. And that word impress is actually the Hebrew word shenan. Now, Hebrew people have a very unique take when it comes to their ability to learn, their mindset, the way they think. They think in pictures. They think in, you say a word and a little video goes off in their head. And I'm talking about the ancient Hebrew people. They were more concrete kind of thinkers. We've got a couple of concrete thinkers in the very back row over there. They're called children. A lot of children are very concrete in their thinking. As opposed to us, as we get older, we become a little more abstract in our thinking. Let me give you a simple example. If you've ever heard me do this, don't blow it, okay? Let me explain it this way. Fill in the blank with this simple question. God is blank. Ready? God is good. Yes, God is love. God is holy. Yes, exactly. But you know, if I were to ask a group of Hebrew people, ancient Hebrew people, and I say, okay, fill in the blank, God is, you know what they would kind of say? They'd probably say exactly the same words because they're exactly right. We're exactly right in our calling God love and holy, all that. But you know what else they might say? God is my rock. God is my fortress. God is my shepherd. And what's the difference in their thinking and ours? Our abstract thinking is kind of tough to put your hands around that word love, isn't it? But can you put your hands on a rock? Yeah, that's concrete thinking. Can you put your hand around something that's called a fortress? Well, sure. And see, here's the idea. They think in pictures. And so when Moses was saying these words to these people as they were getting ready to walk into the land that God had promised their forefathers, he says this word, shenan, in the PL verb tense. Got it? All you Hebrew scholars, you know what I'm talking about. That's a very specific word. Now, this is not a weapon. This is only illustration. Okay? Here's what he said. When he said the word shenan, literally the word means to teach or to sharpen. Right? Now, I've got this knife. I've got my file. If I want to sharpen this knife with this file, I just do one of these things and it's good and sharp, right? No, of course not. This isn't going to sharpen this knife. going about it on the backside. I mean, this isn't sharpening my knife. But how do I sharpen this knife? Well, I hold this blade still, and I get this angle at a certain angle just right, and I move this file all the way across that blade, right? And do I do it just once? I do it how often? Repeatedly. Every time. If I want to get this thing sharpened, I've got to be intentional in how I hold this file and this knife, and I got to do it repeatedly. Now, take that word picture, you group of Hebrews, now put it into this word. You see what Moses is trying to teach us today? And what he's simply saying is, in your teaching of God's Word, these very things that are on your hearts, this one love that you got for this Almighty God that you love with unconditional love, you need to teach your children intentionally and repeatedly. You got this? That's what he's simply saying in this one little word. This is something that we lack whenever we just hang on to all our English versions of our Bible. We need to go back into what was said and how it was said. That's when you get the richness of God's Word. And so when he says, impress them on your children, he's saying, be intentional, be repetitive, do it as you go. And do what? How are you supposed to do it? Well, that's what he says. Talk to them. How are you supposed to talk to kids these days? Well, you use your language, right? This past summer, and I'm going to date myself already, but at the beginning of the summer, I was with a bunch of students. I just asked them, I said, hey, what's the latest word? I was a youth pastor for about 20-some years, and there was always new words coming up that I wasn't allowed to use because my children wouldn't allow me to use them. But I was just, hey, what's the latest word? And you know what the latest word was back in the summer? I found out just a few weeks ago that it's not the latest word anymore. That's how fast it goes. It was the phrase, on fleek. You ever heard that phrase? I hadn't either. Fleek. On fleek. You know what it means? I'm going to give you a very kind of rough definition, but it's got something to do with your eyebrows and how nice and neat they look after you tweeze them or something. Okay? It means they're nice and smooth. On fleek. Okay? You've learned something new today that you'll probably never forget now, right? But here's the thing. Even though these things change as far as language is concerned with our children and our teenagers, God still holds the value of having conversation with your children. And notice when he says do it. He says talk about them when you sit at home. Sitting at home. Sitting at home whenever you're having a meal, whenever you're watching TV, you know, during a commercial, hit the mute and have conversation. And it's that easy to do. But you know what always the number one pushback is with moms and dads when I ever bring this whole subject up? You know what the number one pushback is? I don't have enough every time. And I tell them, I say, yeah, you probably don't because you have a problem with your scheduling. However, God saw you coming because notice what the next verse says. It says, talk about them when you sit at home or when you go down the road. Let me contextualize that. When you ride down the road in your minivan and you're chunking chicken nuggets in the back seat, okay? I get that. You're busy. You got soccer practice. You got cheerleading to go to. You got this event to happen. And so you're busy. Well, the Holy Spirit led Moses to write this and still says, talk to them while you ride down the road. Talk to them when you lie down. Talk to them when you get up. See, there's these times all throughout your day. God's saying, be intentional. Be repetitive. Don't stop talking about the things that are on your heart. Now, here's the thing that always bugs me about this verse. Every time I talk about it, it bugs me a lot. It's not in order, okay? I like to think in lists, okay, in order. But notice this. It should say, when you get up, talk to them when you get up, when you go down the road, when you sit at home, and when you lie down. You know, that's kind of my normal day. I don't know about you, but that's sort of how my day works. Every time I think about that, I realize that I think Moses really did this on purpose to help us understand one very valuable point. This should just be in the rhythm of our day. It should be as we go. We should be very intentional. As we go through our day, we are talking about the Lord. And let me just show you what this kind of looks like. sit at home, go down the road, lie down, get up. Let me just kind of share with you some of these things that I would come to your church and talk to your parents about how to be practical with this. This one right here that says, let's see if I can get this laser going, laugh and sad. I know this is something that we played with our kids every night just about. Hey, what made you laugh today? Tell us what made you, and notice that it's not a question that gives you that yes, no, or kind of question. You know, it's not that grunt sound. It's an open-ended question that they've got to at least start the conversation with. Okay? When you go down the road, I have absolutely found a brand new appreciation for something called Seeds Family Worship. It's a wonderful, go to Seeds Family Worship, just Google it, and if you're Amazon Prime, if you're on Amazon Prime, you can get these things for free. You don't have to pay a dime for them. And these are songs, these are actually scriptures put to music. I mean, it is God's word put into music. Our daughter, she and her husband are fostering a six-year-old little girl. We gave this six-year-old little girl for her birthday a Seeds Family Worship CD. This six-year-old little girl has not made a decision for Jesus Christ. But you know what? She's already learning scripture because she's listening to this music. So it's possible. So when you lie down, you know, having that devotion time is really important that you really try to connect with your children as you have that time of connection when you lie down or when you get up. I know I was on a mission trip about 2 years ago to Cuba. And I was in this guy's house, and this guy, every single morning, he invited me up for breakfast every morning. Every single morning, he would walk over and get me, and we'd come up, and we'd have breakfast. I'd have breakfast with he and his family. At the end of breakfast, he would go over to this little table as his kids were getting ready to go to school, and he'd walk over to this little table, and on this little table was this little box that had the book, had several little verses from Proverbs in it. And he would just hold out this little box and they would pick out one of those cards and they would read that proverb for that day. And they were speaking in Spanish, of course. And so I could tell, though, after they would read that verse, he was given just a little bit of commentary. And then he would put his hands on his children and bless them because they were getting ready to go out into a mission field. And so this simple things that I would talk to your moms and your dads, your grandparents, all these people that are in your church that need to be engaged, to be intentional, to be teaching, to be sharpening their children with these simple things. And this is where conversations get started. But let me kind of walk you through this aspect too. This is just some focus of what you can do when you engage your children, your teenagers, whether they're little children, older children, whatever. Like when you sit at home talking to them, this is more of a formal type of discussion. You become the teacher. And so God is just saying, take advantage of that. You are the most influential people in this child's life because you get a chance to establish values. When you're riding down the road, it's a little bit more informal because there's a lot happening. You've got to kind of pay attention to the road a little bit, right? But, you know, you become a friend to these people in your life. Matter of fact, these are the very people that God has entrusted you with, by the way. And you help him interpret life to almost be that coach, that mentor. And then whenever you lie down, this is an intimate time. But teaching your parents that to use their day strategically, because this is the time that you can become a counselor to them and to build intimacy. Or when you get up, these are encouraging words, just like Barbaro, the guy I told you from Cuba, that he did with his children. He encouraged his children. He becomes their coach and helps them to instill purpose. But here, this is the one I'm most excited about. This whole stage of life thing. This is really what I try to help moms and dads, really, grandparents even, understand. That you're the caregiver, all right, in these early ages. About mid-range here, you're the cop, okay? You're telling what's up, all right? You're telling them that this is what's right, this is what's wrong. But when they start to get a little older, you know, hitting that middle school, high school age group, okay, you become their coach. And being a coach is a pivotal time in their life. It's a crucial time in their life. And when you hold Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Shema, when you hold other aspects of the New Testament, the book of Psalms, I mean, this is everywhere. When you're intentional with your children, God will allow you awesome coaching opportunities because as they get older, you become a consultant. You are never not their disciple maker, by the way. Doesn't matter they don't live in your zip code. That doesn't matter. You are still a disciple maker. My wife and I's children, we have two children. They don't live in our town, but we're still disciple makers. But let me just share this with you. When you're not a good coach, you won't get the opportunity to be that consultant. So this is a process that you need to be very careful about. Very, very careful about. But let me just kind of digress just a second, because you know the timeline of Scripture. Moses was getting ready to take these people into the promised land, and there they were right there at the doorway, saying, and Moses was getting them ready, saying, look, these people that live in the promised land now, okay, these Girgashites, the Jebusites, the Canaanites, and all the Chigorbites, they hate God. And they're going to try to get you to do the same. So in order to make sure that you stay a people devoted to God, you got to pass this stuff down. And so that's why he was saying this in Deuteronomy chapter 6. But of course, we know Moses didn't get a chance to go in. But who was the leader? Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. Joshua says, here I am, Lord. I'm your servant. I'll do whatever you say. And God looks at him and says, okay, everywhere you put your foot, that's yours. You put your foot there, I'm giving it to you. You put your foot there, I'm giving it to you. And then along about the end of the book, Joshua looks at everybody, he draws a line in the sand, and he says what? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Right? But do you know what he said in verse 14? He had to tell the people, throw away your little g gods. They've been compromised. They weren't following Yahweh. But Joshua was trying to say, wake up, people. This is serious. And of course, everybody stacked their hand on Joshua's hands, right? And said, yeah, as far as it's concerning us, we're going to follow the Lord. But you know what happened in Judges chapter 2, verse 10? You said it, brother. Here's the verse. Right there it is. After a whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors. We're talking about Joshua and his contemporaries. That whole generation, they're dead, they're gone, they're out of the picture. What happens? Another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord or what He'd done in Israel. There's a lot of factors I know that could be contributing to that statement, but what do you think maybe one of those factors might be? They didn't tell them. Nobody told them. And so here's my question for today. Are we looking at the same thing? Are we close? I think we are. I'm not so sure what. I think we're there too. Now you better, amen. The millennials are leaving the church because they don't see any authenticity in anybody above them.
Exactly.
However, Jesus is on the throne, right?
Yep.
As long as He's on the throne, there is always, always hope.
Yep.
And God will forgive. Of course He will. God will restore. God will make brand new. But what have we got to do to make that happen? It's up to us, right? It's up to us. And so that's why I just come to you as an employee of your church that I work for you and say, hey, let me come alongside of you and let's make Ephesians 4:12 happen. Matter of fact, let's talk about this part of the verse. Equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry. Okay? What's the very first most important ministry that any mom and dad and grandparent really have? It's not counting money. It's not ushering people, okay? It's their family. So I would just want to encourage you, I submit to you, let's talk about Ephesians 4:12 and how we can integrate faith at home ministry in all the ministries of your church. We're not talking about starting something brand new. We're talking about taking what you already have and tweaking it, making it faith at home focused. And here's just some of the ways that we could do that, okay? Just some of the things I would talk to you about. As a matter of fact, I'm going to run out of time, but I would love to talk to you about how you as a pastor can share, just in simple illustration, share a simple illustration on a weekly basis about how God's Word interacts with family. On whatever level, doesn't matter. But I'll save that for another time. But here's what we need to do. Be eager learners, we got to teach this. We've got to be authentic doers and we got to teach this. We've even got to be intentional teachers and we've got to teach it. Because here's what we really need to do. We need to plant some tamarisk trees. Well, what in the world is a tamarisk tree? Well, here's a picture of one. Tamarisk tree is an interesting plant that will grow in the most harsh environment. And as you can see, this is a desert area. This plant gets, you know, it has a pretty good taproot, so it gets a little bit of moisture from the ground, of course, but it doesn't get a lot of its moisture that way because this is a dry climate. But it does get some moisture from the Mediterranean Sea. This grows in the Israel region. It does get its moisture from the Mediterranean Sea blowing, and it gets it through its leaves, kind of almost like a cypress-type tree in our world here. But do you notice, see, these trees are very slow-growing, as you can well imagine, but do you notice the precious commodity that it gives somebody who plants it? What is that? That shade right there. That is a precious commodity in this type of environment. But here, let me share a verse with you found in Genesis chapter 21. It says, Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there he called on the name of the Lord, the eternal God. Now, what in the world? Now, notice this isn't Abram, it's Abraham. So this boy is around 100-some years old, right? What is a 100-year-old man planting a tree that takes decades to mature into something that's actually going to produce some shade? What in the world is he doing that for? He wasn't planting it for himself, was he? He was planting it for future generations. I think if we will start to take this ministry seriously, we'll start to see these things turn around. It'll be slow, but it's time. I'd like to introduce to you some very, very dear friends of mine. We've gotten to know each other over the last several months. And this is Steve and Sam Ashley. I've had an opportunity to work with them on a number of different times, and I just can't wait to allow you to hear their very specific ministry. And I'm not going to steal their thunder, but I just want you to know God's got His hand on this couple, and I just can't wait to see what He does all throughout our state with these folks. Here you go. Matter of fact, we got to do a little change here.
A little switch.
Right, just hold that if you.
Oh, okay.
And just switch it back and forth.
That'll make it easy. Yeah. Is that going to distract y'all? I'm Sam or Ashley. I'm going to start just because we have to share this thing. So this is my husband, Steve, and we're so excited to be here. And this is such a God thing. God opened this door, and when the Lord opens a door, we walk through it. That's just part of who we are. But we have Gaining Ground Ministries, and that is something that God put on our hearts that just started in 2016. And we have a passion to encourage and equip people for the work of the Lord, to share the gospel, to be real, to share their life, whatever you have been through in your life. We specifically have blended family ministry, and we're going to talk about that in a minute and what that means, because some people don't know what a blended family is. Steve does prison ministry, where we go into wherever. We're talking about Taylorsville, Wilkesboro. We live in Ashe County. He goes into the prisons and preaches, and then just wherever God calls us, we go. So specifically today, we're going to talk about a little bit about who's going to reach them, non-traditional family ministry. And this isn't going to take long, but this is our passion. Today, and this is our family, first of all. Little guy, he doesn't look too happy, does he? actually, our kids are another year older now since that picture, but it takes a lot of effort to get an updated picture if you have that many children where they're all looking at the camera. But our little guy, Levi, he is 5. The oldest is graduating this year. See, he's a senior in high school. And then the 3 girls in between, bam, 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 pretty much almost all in a row. That's our family. Today we're going to talk, though, I want to share a little bit about our testimony really quickly. I grew up a pastor's kid. Church is just my comfort zone because I grew up in the church. I was raised in the church. I've tried to meet as many of you coming in that door as possible, but I was born in Florida. My dad was a pastor at our home church for almost 40 years at the same church. Actually, Charlie Martin is his name, not this Charlie Martin, but we always joke that there's the other. That's the other Charlie Martin. But anyway, that's where I grew up. I met my husband there when I was very young, got married, and eventually moved to Tennessee and had 2 little girls. And by the age of 26, I became a single mom very quickly. My life changed. Everything that I thought was true, everything that I thought was real in my life was not. And I was left with 2 little girls at 26 years old. And there I was, this pastor's kid that was like, wait, this isn't supposed to happen to me. And to be honest, it breaks me every time I say that. And it's not that pastor's kids are any different or people in the church are any different or pastors or wives are any different. At any moment, that could be any of us. And to be there at 26 years old and asking the Lord, why is this happening, Lord? I gave you my life. I was on the mission field with my nursing job. I was in church. I was in your word. I had that personal relationship with you. But yet, my life still changed. And we want to encourage you today, because we're not going to go off and talk about the big D word and all that so much that everybody just loves to talk about. But we're going to talk about family ministry, because in your churches, if you look around, you have multiple types of families in your church. You have the grandparents. What types of families are in your church? You have that grandparent raising their grandkids for one reason or other, whether it's in prison, whether their family's in prison or drugs. I mean, you think about all the things today that pull families apart. The devil wants to break up homes. The devil is doing anything, because what happens? If the devil breaks the home, they're breaking who? The church, right? The church is the people, not the building, you know? And the devil loves to get in there. Anything possible, whether it's an addiction, pornography, adultery, you know, any of that. And so here you are, you've got grandparents raising grandchildren. You've got single parents, not just moms, but dads. You know, you've got blended families, which that can come from divorce. It can come from death of a spouse and remarriage. It can come from adoption, which people forget about that. You know, you're raising another person's child, whether you think of it that way or not, or maybe another background, another diversity, another country. And then fostering, like Mark talked about with his daughter, she's got two foster kids right now. And the difference is all these people's involvement in your life and all the different complexities. So traditional families, obviously we know what that is. Single parents, blended families. So what about it? So 42% of all people have some type of step in their family. It could be a parent, a grandparent, a sibling, a whatever. And there's 42% of all people, and 40% of all couples with children are step families. And that's a huge number, huge. And so misconceptions, leaders, this is a big one. We talked about this at Family Life Blended. I don't know if you've heard of Ron Deal. He actually doesn't have a blended family, but he is over Family Life Ministries for Blended Families. But he is so passionate and so helpful. But leaders may fear that this type of family ministry condones divorce. That because we're supporting a different type of ministry, not saying change your ministry, but saying be specific, reach out to the people that are broken, that because you're doing that, that you're supporting something that the Bible is totally against. You know, but that's not true. What we're doing is we're focusing on being clear about God's design for marriage, what it's supposed to be. You want to help save those marriages that are in the brinks, that are breaking, that are crushed, that they feel like there's nowhere left. Then you also want to come behind, and people who have been there, let them come up. You'll find these leaders within your church body that have these amazing testimonies of God's faithfulness and grace that you just got to tap into, that people are afraid, oh, I don't really want to get into that story and their baggage. And yes, you do. I'm going to tell you, you do, because that you will have the most amazing leaders who, you know what, as a pastor, as a wife of a pastor, as a leader, as a counselor, you might not have the means to say, you know, if somebody came to you and needed counseled, well, okay, I'm married and my husband's treating his kids better than mine. What are you going to say? We've had at the family Faith at Home conferences, we've had the Christian counselors who are also pastors' wives say, I don't know, can you be a resource for me? Can I like bounce things off of you and talk about these things that we're not comfortable with, that we might not be used to? But you want to get to know your families, get to know your core leaders, encourage these people to just be real. We were talking about just a minute ago about why millennials may be leaving. That might not be the only reason. Sometimes I feel like it's an excuse, you know what I mean? And that we all can have an excuse. However, people want people just to be real. There's so much hypocrisy in life in general. And Steve and I have just the passion to be, you know what? There's a lot in life I don't want to tell you about my life. There's things in my life that I'm not proud of. There's things that I couldn't change if I wanted to. There's things that I couldn't have saved if I wanted to. But God, because of his grace and his mercy, we have the testimony that, you know what, may not be what we wanted. But our kids will tell you that we have a wonderful, beautiful family. We have the yours, mine, and ours. And just like the movie, just like the old movie, they'll tell you. But you know what? We make the best out of what we have. And everything is filtered by God. There's nothing in my life that God didn't filter and allow to happen. Do I understand why? I do now. Because this is why. Because now we get to minister to families and we get to tell y'all about it. So everyone has a different story. Find those who are willing to share their testimony and let them use it for God's glory. If we can't use our dirtiness and our ashes and all that to make something beautiful out of it, that God has brought something that can glorify him, then we're no good. If we can't be willing to share our junk for God's glory, then what use are we? You know, to bring people closer to him, to bring people the saving knowledge of Christ. If one person, I told the Lord when I was crying out to him over all of this in my life, when he was calling me to share, and I said, Lord, why would I rip apart this scar that's finally healed? Why would I want to rip that back open and just expose it to the world? He says, for me. For me. And if you can't do it, then I'm just going to have to move on to somebody else. And I was like, oh, no, no, you're not. I want to be a part of that. So I'm going to let my husband, Steve, take over from here, and he'll share a little bit more.
She gets me fired up. She takes just after her dad. But listen, as a pastor, we just planted a church 6 weeks ago in our hometown. I've lived in Nash County 43 years almost. And we just have a heart, like she said, for the broken. And there's so many people that are out there. You know, you've seen the statistics, you've heard, you all know. Think about right now who you have in your church, who you have in your community that are broken from, that have step families, that their marriage is on the brinks. What we have to realize is that what we're asking you to do is to realize that blended family ministry and the ministry that we're talking about for the single parents and the grandparents and the adoption and the fostering, it's a redemptive ministry. Listen, I can't explain to you the brokenness that I went through when I went through the things that I had to go through, and I lost my family. I can't explain to you the hurt. I can't explain to you, the brokenness that I experienced, but God, as you already heard, who is rich in mercy and his great love, he took the ashes and he made beauty. He can take the brokenness, and that's what he's done with my family. Sammy and I have been married almost 10 years, and what we have to realize is that it's a redemptive ministry. You know, as leaders, as people that people look up to in the community, we have to realize that we have come to bind up the brokenhearted, comfort those that mourn, set the captive free. There's so many people captive by shame. There's so many people right in your church, right in your community that is bound up by shame and guilt. And so we have to just ask for God to change our heart, the way we look at the people. Give us compassion. Give us compassion upon the people. And it's uncomfortable, I know. But the broken people, they deserve to be ministered to. It's dirty. It's blood and guts. You know, it's things that you don't want to open up. But that's what we want to come alongside you and help. We want to be that resource for you. And what we need to realize is that it is a redemptive ministry, something that's awesome, that we've seen, that this can also be an outreach. It can be an evangelism tool for you, because whenever we come in and we do like a conference on a weekend or a Friday night or a Saturday night or something, we ask the church to engage. Think about some step families or some people that you know that have a blended family, or maybe their marriage is on the rocks. Invite them to come. They're not in church. Use it as an outreach tool to bring them in. They're going to say, well, you know what? I feel comfortable. I feel comfortable coming to this church because, you know what? I'm a train wreck. I'm a mess. But you know what? If you're a messed up person, you're in the right place, because we're all messed up people, if we're all honest with ourselves. And so what we see, this is a beautiful outreach and evangelism tool. And when we come to conferences, man, we present the gospel. We've had people get born again right there at these family conferences that we do specifically for blended families. And so also it's marriage and family building. you know, it's pouring into those people, to where they don't get divorced. Listen, if you only knew what you're going to go through, if you do this, you need to fight for your marriage. Don't do it at all costs. I don't care what happened. Fight for your marriage. Because if you don't, let me just tell you what's going to happen. I don't wish it upon anybody because it's very complex. It's very complex. So we see that it's a great time for small group studies, community groups, discipleship, mentoring. And so how can we help? You know, we want to, you know, we talked about the marriage mentor training. What I would recommend is even like in your single parent, do you have like single mom, single dad groups? What I would find those people that are a blended family in your church that have launched through, they've blended their family and they're solid and they're willing to share their testimony. Pair them up with your single parent ministry. Single moms, single dads, pair them up with a blended family that's already in it. They've been in it, man. They've seen the good, the bad, the ugly of blending a family. And pray for God to reveal those people to you. And we'll be glad to come in and help, you know, prepare those things and to equip and encourage you guys through this as you just put this into the ministries that you already have. Pre-step family counseling is key. What are the red flags? You need to know what are the red flags before you blend this family. You know, we dive into those types of things, and we'd be glad to be that resource for you. Like we said, we do blended family conferences, parenting conferences, and what we would do is we would love for you to check out our website. It's gaininggroundministries.org. We have our cards. We have some handouts that actually Sammy or I will be at the back, and we'll hand you one as you go out. But we want you to use us as a reference. Whenever you needed in counseling, blended families, or for your pastoral leadership support for your questions and issues, give us a call, shoot us an email, and we'll be glad to help you. One thing Sammy didn't get into, she wrote a devotional book. It's a 30-day devotional. It's called Broken to Blended. We have some copies here. You can find it on Amazon. It's called Broken to Blended, Encouragement for Blended Families. It's powerful. It is a great book that we would encourage every pastor to get a couple of those devotionals, keep it, and you can hand it to people that come to you with blended family, step family questions. And we would love to come to your community, come to your church, and to do a blended family, step family conference. We can tailor it any way you want. We could come in on a weekend. I talked with Pastor Jimmy earlier. I can't remember where he's from, but anyway, we're going to do it on a Sunday morning, during Sunday school, worship time, Sunday afternoon, and then Sunday evening and finish it up. So we can tailor it however you want, but contact us, and we want you to realize that we're here to help you guys. This is a ministry. This is a ministry that is so much needed, and we want to equip and encourage the family because, as my wife said, the reason Satan has attacked the families, so the family goes, the church goes, and as the church goes, our nation goes, and you see what mess we're in our nation. We need to wake up and encourage and equip families to navigate through this crazy life. Amen? And we'll turn this back over to Mark. Thank you for the time. Thanks,
brother. So if you need some help, we're here for you. Let me just kind of reiterate. If you want one of these books, all you got to do is just ask for one. I'd love to give you one and just allow you just to start the process. My contact information is in that book, so all you got to do is just give me a call. Let me close this with prayer, but let me just kind of just remind you of something that a French poet said. If you want to build a ship, okay, don't just herd people together to collect wood and don't assign them tasks and work. Rather, teach them to long for the endless immensity of the sea. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this morning or this afternoon. God, just thank you for allowing us just to be a part of what you're doing at the Baptist State Convention. God, just thank you for your hand of incredible providence in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for this group. And I just pray that we would just take our faith at home very seriously. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.